This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. Well, hello everybody. Here we are for our next session. This session's going to be around the NDIS and the home and community care packages. We've got four speakers today. The session will go for around 60 minutes. First up, we have got Pete and Pearl Sumner, and they will be talking about the home and community care package. They are longtime Dog Guide handlers, so they'll talk about that aspect. Secondly, we have Lauren Henley. Lauren Henley has been in the advocacy field for many years, even though she's still quite young, but she has been involved in the advocacy sector for many years. And was heavily involved early on when My Aged Care was starting up and starting to be developed, advocating to make it a program that would be as useful as people who got into the NDIS, for those people who find the NDIS useful. Our fourth speaker is Tish Watson, and she is a service development lead at Vision Australia and that Seeing Eye Dog. Talk about what it is that she do, what she does, what is a service development lead, and she will give us some insight into that end of how the process works. So first up, I might go with starting with you, Pete, if you can unmute. And I believe you're going to give us an overview about what is the home and community care program.
Well, thank you, Greg. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes.
I got my first train with my first dog guide in 1967, so that's over half a century ago. I don't know if any of our participants in the conference can outdate me there, but certainly I've had a bit of experience there, and I'm working with my seventh guide dog now. And Pearl and I are both, I don't think it's any giveaway here, but we are in our late 70s, and we have been participants in the home care package program for about 8 years, and that was shortly after it began. So we've had quite a bit of experience with it. And just to put it in context, because we do find that a lot of people are not sure just how the package program relates to, for instance, NDIS, perhaps we should just say a few words about that. Of course, when you are, if you are fortunate enough to be in the NDIS program and to have a guide dog provided for you through that program and the costs covered and so on, as you get up towards the age of 65, normally, officially, your funding would cut out at the age of 65. But now this has been extended. So if you are a guide dog or seeing eye dog or otherwise dog guide handler and you're 64 and you come up to the age of 65, under most circumstances, your funding and support for your dog guide costs will continue if you're already in NDIS. For how long, I'm not sure, but I do know that you know, people in the NDIS situation, one or two of them have continued on beyond the point of the age of 65. Now, normally, under My Age Care, which is the federal government program that tries to provide support and assistance for seniors so they can remain independent in their own homes for as long as possible, They also, of course, support seniors who, through frailty, illness, or whatever, need to go into residential care. But I'm not going to speak about that today because that's another subject in itself. So we're going to talk mainly about support and assistance that you might receive while you're still living at home. And we do know, of course, that the costs of working with and supporting a guide dog or seeing eye dog or other dog guide, you know, are getting quite tremendous these days. They're very onerous, the costs, one way or another, insurance, vet fees, and so on. Pearl will talk a bit about that shortly. Dog guide handlers do need some support with that. And the home care package program now is able to assist you with those costs or expenses. Now, I should also say that normally the home care package program cuts in for people at the age of 65, but the government does make an allowance there for people who live with a disability, which of course includes us as vision impaired people. So if you're not under NDIS for some reason, and say you're 50 years of age, and you are needing some support or help or assistance to remain independent as a vision impaired person in your own home, and working with a dog guide is part of that for you, then you can apply to the Home Care Package Program for support. Not many people know that. It's not just an age-related thing. It also is related to a disability, which, of course, applies to us. So keep that in mind, and we'll move on to say that the Home Care Package Program is a bit different to NDIS. In fact, it's quite different in some ways. In some ways, NDIS is open-ended in the support it can provide for certain kinds of disabilities and so on. But with the home care package, the government provides a fixed amount per week, per month, per year. And you can decide just what you will spend that money on, what needs you have that need to be funded, whether it's healthcare or technical aids or dog guide costs or whatever. You can decide how you spend that money. Now, the package is provided at four levels, level 1, 2, 3, 4, and the lowest level being 1, level 2, 3, and the highest level being level 4, where you might be, say, fairly frail, or you may have some extra illnesses or conditions where you might need daily nursing care or help with meals and other support that would be fairly costly. But Pearl and I are presently on level 2, which provides around about $1,250 a month, which you can in your package. So I'll use that as a sort of a working example. And so the government provides this support, this assistance, through what they call providers. They are agencies or organizations who administer the package for you. You do not get the money provided directly into your bank account, so you can just spend it any way you like, whenever you like, and so on. The money, of course, has to be used, has to be spent according to the guidelines, and these agencies or providers, they help you keep you on the straight and narrow, as it were, and help you to make sure that you do the right thing with the money that you get. So there are now scores, if not several hundred of these agencies scattered around the country, and they are working with older people. And there are two kinds of administration, you might say. There's the agency managed package, where you just tell them what you want or what you need, and they'll tell you if you've got enough money to fund that, and they will arrange for you to get, say, domestic help, that is, say, help with home care or home cleaning, or you may need help maintaining the outside of your home, your garden, keeping it tidy, or mowing lawns or something like that. Or you might need some repairs around the house, or some extra equipment put in, like a ramp or something of that nature, steps, handrails, or you might need technical equipment, and that would include Braille equipment. It might include, it would include an iPhone. Pearl is going to go into those things later on, so I won't go into all the details there.
Yeah, just a minute for you, Pete, and then we'll move on to Pearl, if you don't mind. One more minute for you.
Yes, certainly. So thanks. I'm just saying you need to shop around for providers and make sure that you... because they're not all the same, and some charge you very high administration fees, which means you've got less to spend on your guide dog needs or dog guide needs and costs. So you do need to, I would advise you to look around and compare costs before you make a decision about which provider you will use. So finally, I'll just... finish up by saying that you can go and use what's called the consumer-directed care model. That is where you make the decisions about what you will spend the available money on, what providers you will use, what you can engage your own carers. You can decide which dog food you'll use, which dog food providers or equipment providers, or which insurance companies you'll go with, or whatsoever. You make the decisions rather than the provider agency. So that gives you much more freedom and flexibility, and I would encourage you to look at that model. And I'm very happy to answer questions about that if people would like to get in touch with me later on after the conference and so on.
Thanks, Pete. Great. Yeah, thanks. That's fantastic. So just an overview of how it's going to go. Each speaker, I'm going to give about 10 minutes to talk, and that will leave us a good 15 minutes for questions afterwards. So now we'll move on to Pearl. And Pearl, I believe you're going to give us an overview about what sort of services can you access in the home and community care program. Alt A to unmute, or star 6 if you're on a phone. Sounds like you're there, Pearl.
I don't think she is has unmuted. Pearly, here's the headphones. Use that.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Pearl. Thank you very much.
Oh, hi, Greg.
How are you?
Look, yes, we're good. I'm just having a few technical difficulties with my computer at the moment, and but anyway, we're in contact now. So pleased personally pleased and delighted to be able to participate. Judith Killen and I were very, very great friends, and we actually hatched the idea of dog handlers together when we used to be going to African dance and African music, those many, many years ago. So it's a special delight for me to be able to participate. And Pete and I have been benefiting quite wonderfully, you know, from our perspective, from the bit of money, support that we get through our home care package. The main words that I would love everybody to imprint on their minds and their hearts if they're wanting to be able to avail themselves of this program is that you have to be very much aware of staying within the guidelines of the program, and be aware that a lot of the people that you're going to be interacting with who are called your provider, they're, generally speaking, their training and understanding of what blind people need is pretty abysmal. So we have to be prepared to be good explainers of things. But there's a new manual that's just been put out by Aged Care, and I would really, really recommend that anybody that's interested in perhaps looking at taking up this program, make sure that you get access to this manual, because it does set things out really, really, really clearly. Like, I've had numbers of people who've come to me and said, oh, I've just joined my aged care and I went there to get some support for my dog, and they just tell me flatly that it's not provided. And the thing is that if something is not outlined in the legislation as being forbidden, like you're not allowed to go on holidays with your money, if something is not written down as not forbidden, of course you'll apply for it and you'll ask for it. And we know that guide dogs are acknowledged as a legitimate expense in NDIS. People on my aged care are provided with the wherewithal for transportation, and the main scope of the program talks about people living independently with dignity and safety in their home, as long as they want to do that. And also, there's a big emphasis on wellness. There's a big emphasis on quality of care. And keeping these ideas firmly in your mind that, okay, my dog is my preferred mobility aid. My dog is my preferred ability aid. My dog helps me with exercise. My dog is helping me to live an independent and a happy life. The people that come into my home to help me with cleaning it and looking after my property so that I'm not exposed to a lot of risk. Safety is another really big word to use when you're constructing your goals. You will be assessed for what are your you know, what are the important goals in your life? And it's really, really important to learn the parameters within which you can construct the goals that are going to hit them in the eye and they say, oh, yes, that certainly falls within the scope and in the intention of this program to keep you independent and safe in your home and to continue to help you to gain confidence in whatever you do. I had an example recently where I had to be in hospital for nearly a couple of months. I was very sick. And they started asking me in hospital, what do you want to do when you get out? And I'm saying, the very thing that I need to do in my life is to get back to be able to walk so that I can walk with my dog. And I just kept pounding that idea in their brains all the time. I didn't have enough money in my package to pay for the kind of support that I wanted. That was a lot of physio and all that kind of thing. But when you're in a situation like that, having your package there gives you the ability to be able to apply for extra care. I got a lot of extra physical care. I got a lot of extra care from aftercare from guide dogs so that I was able to have my trainer out a lot to help me. So getting the My Aged Care package may not seem very much at the beginning, but it can really, really, really help you. I'm going to just very quickly say before Greg gives me the gong.
Just about to wind you up, quickly, too, but that's a great example you just finished on there, but keep going. Yep.
Yes. So what I was going to say, for example, our daily, we have, you know, Pete and I have, you know, you work out your budget, what, you know, and we need our home and our garden and our doggies. And so this, you know, constantly we've got a wonderful lady who owns a pet shop in Sandringham, and she's so great for us. We buy she gets us the best deals on our bulk food, on bedding, anything else that, you know, doggy toys that we want to buy. I got a thunder jacket for my dog who's scared of, you know, when we have thunderstorms and all that sort of thing. We get our insurance, and we also pay for the vet fees gap that we don't get on our insurance. Our dog lady, you know, baths the dogs. We get toys. We get towels when I need them for them. Collars. Bowls, poo bags, and we recently got a vacuum cleaner for the dog hair. We have two dogs in the house, and I've got a bit of asthma. So you just look for all the things pertaining to your dog that are going to drive the goals of the My Aged Care package, not the other way around. So look for things that you can feed in there that they say, oh yeah, we can do that for them. And then if they're a little bit iffy about it, you just have to educate them, darlings. You just have to be patient. We had to be patient very much because, first of all, we were totally refused anything from our package when we were with Vision Australia. They said, no, it doesn't say it in the guidelines, so you're not having it. We don't do anything with guide dogs. And we said, no, okay, you can't give us a guide dog, but you can support us in our guide dogs because they are very important to us living our lives independently, going shopping, going for walks, living our lives you know, in the community. And so...
that's probably a good place to finish. Yeah, we're going to have to finish.
Yeah, I was just going to say, basically, that's it. Remember safety, remember independence, and if you need to talk about any of this stuff, we'll be so happy to support you in it.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Pearl. That's fantastic. That's a great insight. Okay, we're going to move on to Lauren Henley now. As I said earlier on, Lauren's been an advocate for many years, even though she is still quite young. I am aware that Lauren was heavily involved, as I said earlier on, in my aged care. When my aged care was being developed, she put together a website called My Age Scare, which provided tools and resources for people who were moving into the My Age Care, which really didn't have a lot of information at the time. But anyway, that's enough for me. Lauren has also worked for Human Rights, for Blind Citizens Australia and other organisations, and also runs her own business in Lauren Henley Consulting. So I'll hand it over to you, Lauren.
Thanks so much, Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. So I'm going to expand on a couple of things that Peter and Pearl have touched on. I guess my goal this morning is to provide a holistic overview of the current situation for over 65s with disability, talk about some of the key differences between the NDIS and the aged care system and the inequity that exists within that, and also talk about some initiatives that are currently underway to try and address that inequity. So a quick rehash for the uninitiated. The NDIS Act states that an individual needs to be under the age of 65 at the time of making an access request for the scheme. And that means that people who are blind or vision impaired who had already turned 65 when the NDIS was rolled out in their area missed out. It also means that people who acquire vision loss after the age of 65 will continue to miss out. And that's important when considering that age-related vision loss is still the leading cause of blindness in Australia. People who are not eligible for the NDIS due to their age are forced to turn to the aged care system to try and access the support they need. So what are the main differences between the NDIS and the aged care system? And Peter and Pearl have touched on some of these already. The aged care system can be characterised by long waiting lists, expensive co-payments, a lack of specialist disability expertise, which I know Pearl has already touched on, and an overall lack of funding. What does this look like at an individual level though? The first thing to understand here is that there are two levels of home care support available under the aged care system. The first is called the Commonwealth Home Support Program, and that's the entry level of support that exists under the aged care system. It provides very basic subsidised services such as assistance with cleaning, shopping, and garden maintenance. I'm not really going to focus on the Commonwealth Home Support Program in my presentation though, because most people who are blind or vision impaired will need a higher level of support, which can be better catered for under a home care package, which is what Peter and Pearl have already spoken about. So a home care package is similar to an NDIS package in that it involves allocating a certain level of funding, which the individual can then use to purchase the services and supports they need. So with this in mind, let's take a look at some of the key differences between the NDIS and the aged care system. While NDIS participants are not required to make any financial contribution towards the cost of their supports, people accessing support under the aged care system are. NDIS participants are not subject to income and assets testing, whereas people accessing support under the aged care system are. People who apply for the NDIS are typically able to access funding within about a month, or at worst a few months of being approved for the scheme, whereas the average waiting time for a home care package is currently sitting at about 18 months. This is because there are only a finite number of aged care packages available, and you literally need to wait for someone to die in order to access one. As of June 2020, almost 133,000 older people were still waiting for a home care package. The next problem is that even once you've got your funding, it might not be enough to cover all of your needs. The amount of funding that's allocated to NDIS participants is generally framed around their individual goals, needs, and circumstances. As Peter touched on, under the aged care system, though, there are only four predetermined levels of funding available. A level one home care package will give you $9,000 of funding. a level two package will give you $15,750 of funding. A level three package will give you $34,250 worth of funding, and a level four package will give you $52,000. And it's important to remember that normally you'll need to take case management fees out of that figure as well, which can be quite expensive. Now, hypothetically, if you are on a level four package, which is the highest level of support available under the aged care system, this still wouldn't provide you with enough funding to cover the cost of a new dog and any necessary training, let alone food and veterinary expenses. And you can forget about funding for things like support work, cleaning, garden maintenance, assistive technology, or anything else you might need, because you'd have absolutely no money left to play with in that calendar year. The good news is one of the major dog guide schools has made a commitment to continue providing services free of charge to older people who don't have the same funding that's available to younger people under the NDIS. Anecdotally, though, I know that another major school is now refusing to provide a dog to anyone who cannot fully fund it through an individually funded package of supports. And this has the potential to severely erode older people's choice and control over the services they receive, because it means that in some cases, they're only going to have one school to choose from. As doom and gloom as this all sounds, there is some light at the end of the tunnel. In March this year, the Royal Commission into Aged Care Quality and Safety handed down its final report to the Australian Government. The Royal Commission ran from 2018 until 2021 and presented a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reform Australia's aged care system. A number of the Royal Commission's recommendations will be relevant to people who are blind or vision impaired who are accessing aged care. For example, the Royal Commission recommended that the government clear the waiting list for home care packages, and as a result, 80,000 additional home care packages were announced as part of this year's federal budget. The budget also included funding for information and systems navigation services, which means that people will be able to access in-person or telephone-based support to help them navigate the aged care system, which can be quite complicated. The recommendation I'd really like to draw people's attention to, though, is recommendation 72. It reads as follows, and I'm going to need a big breath by the end of this because the people who write these recommendations don't know how to use punctuation. There's no full stops where there should be. So the recommendation reads, by the 1st of July, 2024, every person receiving aged care who is living with disability, regardless of when acquired, should receive through the aged care program daily living supports and outcomes, including assistive technologies, aids and equipment, equivalent to those that would be available under the National Disability Insurance Scheme to a person under the age of 65 years with the same or substantially similar conditions. Now, while that recommendation does represent a significant step in the right direction, it's not yet been accepted in full by the Australian government. The government has stated that the recommendation is under further consideration and that there will be collaboration between the Department of Health, the NDIA, and the Department of Social Services to work through possible options and their implications. Now, as an advocate and change maker, I cannot stress enough how important it is for people with disability who are accessing aged care to advocate for the urgent implementation of Recommendation 72 and the need for greater parity with the NDIS. You can do your part to help by meeting with your federal MP and asking them to progress this matter on your behalf. Before I finish up, I also just want to put in a plug for the Assistive Technology for All campaign, which I coordinate in my current role at Council on the Aging Victoria. This is a national campaign which is supported by a range of high-profile organisations across the disability sector, including the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations, People with Disability Australia, Every Australian Counts, Blind Citizens Australia, and Vision Australia. The campaign is advocating for the establishment of a national assistive technology program to support people with disability who are excluded from the NDIS. If you want to support the campaign, head on over to www.assistivetechforall.org.au and go to the Take Action page where you can sign our e-petition and send off a letter to your federal MP. And if you have any further questions about the campaign, you can send an email to info@assistivetechforall.org.au or give me a call on 03-9655-2140. That's 03-9655-2140. The final thing I'd really like to emphasize is that I'd like to see more younger people who are blind or vision impaired doing what they can to support calls for improved access to services for older people who are excluded from the NDIS. I'm sure that there's a number of people listening who thought, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me. I'm under the NDIS. I don't need to listen. But I'd like to point out that you're wrong. We are all older people waiting to happen. We are a community and we all need to stand united and make sure that no one is left behind. So I please really do encourage you to get behind these different calls to action around the Assistive Technology for All campaign, around the recommendations from the Aged Care Royal Commission, just because you have access to the NDIS. And I'm not saying that the NDIS is perfect either. I know that it's far from that, but we need to make sure that there's a level playing field for everyone and that the over 65s are not left behind. Thanks, Greg. That's it from me.
Perfect. Lauren, right on the dot. Great information. I feel a little bit sorry for the captioner to try and fit all that in, but I'm sure she'll cope. Okay, so our last speaker is Tish Watson. Tish works for Vision Australia, Seeing Eye Dogs. She is a service development lead, and she's going to give us some insight on how things happen at her end of things. Thanks, Tish.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Tish Watson, or my full name is Letitia Watson, which sometimes causes confusion. Hello to everybody in the audience that I know, and I just thought I'd start by saying thank you so much for having me here today. Before I go into anything, I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians on the land in which we all meet today, and pay my respects to their elders past and present, and I extend that respect to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. So service development lead I work under the client services team at Seeing Eye Dogs. So I work with both NDIS participants and those who are not on the NDIS. So speaking to specifically the NDIS journey, Seeing Eye Dogs support our clients to gain access to the NDIS. And can also support the beginning journey of accessing the scheme through completing the forms and providing pre-planning support. So pre-planning support can involve explaining what the NDIS is, how the process works, and then also prepare supporting documentation. So Vision Australia have developed what's called a Ready Set, which is a tool that we use to basically guide conversation with our clients to develop goals, and then also include an estimation of what services the client might need to achieve their goals, which will include Vision Australia services, but then also external services to Vision Australia. So that might be your home care support, it might be shopping support, and then of course your ongoing dog costs that you're eligible for each year under the NDIS. If a participant is, a said client is already on our waiting list and they've gone through the assessment process, then we can also provide a formal quote to provide the NDIS to support your review process. Often the NDIS won't process the funding for a dog unless there's an application that addresses the reasonable and necessary criteria, but it's always great to provide the quote to support the development, or at least let them know that you're planning on, that you're actively waiting. We would also always encourage that there's a specific goal relating to your dog, whether that be ongoing, check-in support, ongoing maintenance, or that, you know, your dog's nearing retirement and you might be needing to explore a successor in the coming plan period. We support our clients to obtain funding under the NDIS, so we'll support clients with the report writing process. It's really important to note, though, that a client will never be overlooked a match if that report writing process hasn't started. Also, it's important to note that for those living over the age of 65 or those you know, who may not get an approval under the NDIS, our clients will always receive their seeing eye dog. At the moment, we haven't, we've had great success under the NDIS, but like I said, if there was some the NDIS that said no, you will still receive your dog. The application process. So the application process for obtaining funding under the NDIS can be quite a journey, and a lot of information is required to address what's called the reasonable and necessary criteria. So what is taken into consideration under that, and what we include in our reports is information that's been captured from your assessing instructor, but then also we'll have a one-to-one conversation, and all of the information that you've provided seeing eye dogs about your independence with your dog guide will be included in the report as well, and any sort of background information that you might have on other mobility aids. We like to try to provide as much information as we possibly can, because some of the delegates who might be reviewing your application may not have worked with somebody living with low vision or blindness before. So providing a bit of context around what it's like for you is important and can also help the application process. We like to pride ourselves on working with clients in the way that they like to work. It's really important that our reports capture the real needs of the handler that we're submitting the request for. And so we always send our reports to the clients to review prior to submission, and send through feedback and any changes or additions that they feel would make the application stronger. We also obviously always ensure that we've got consent to submit the reports prior to the NDIS. We also like to ensure that clients are included in on all communications relevant to them and their circumstances when dealing with the NDIS. So that will involve all follow-up emails and then the submission of additional information if requested. Sometimes under the application process for the NDIS, we may need to provide additional documentation. So sometimes based on a client's circumstance, we, in order to address the reasonable and necessary criteria, we'll need to collate other documents. And that might be from, say, physiotherapists or mental health practitioners, or even a direct letter from an instructor. Sometimes the NDIS require that in order from their end, in order to make sure that they're ticking all of the boxes, but we support our clients to obtain that and sort of answer any questions or concerns. The whole idea of my role at Seeing Eye Dogs is to try to make the NDIS journey to securing funding as easy as possible and as seamless. So we try to take that burden from clients because there can be quite a lot of follow-up involved in getting the funding approved. Technically, the NDIS have 30 days to approve a complex AT item, but the dog guides are considered complex and actually exceed the value of what the NDIS consider reasonable and necessary for somebody living with low vision and blindness. So it actually needs to go through quite a number of steps before you get to the approval stage. So it needs to be approved. Reviewed by the technical advisory team, which is a group of specialists that sit within the NDIS. They provide advice on whether or not they deem the report addressing the reasonable and necessary criteria. At this point, they might ask for additional information. Following there, it goes down to the delegate to make the final decision, which typically always is based on the advice the technical advisory team have provided, and then once they've provided their decision, it then goes to a director level to make the approval, because the value of the dog and the package actually exceeds what the NDIS consider reasonable for our community. There are ways in which we tricks and tips that we have on escalating requests to make sure that they're processed in a reasonable amount of time. again, we will never overlook a match and, for a client if that report writing process hasn't started. If clients have worked with their dogs for 12 plus months and they're going in for a review of their plan, whether that be at 12 months or 24 months, we also provide supporting letters to support the development of funds. So that might be for your instructor costs, but also your ongoing dog costs. If there are goals that you have that might require additional funding, we would really encourage our clients to get in touch with their instructors, because we want to work with you to secure those funds and then work with you to assist in achieving those goals.
One minute, Tish.
Okay, sorry. I'll try and get through this as quickly as possible. The good thing about the NDIS is that you can be really innovative with your funding. We're seeing iDogs are trying to be more responsive to requests. So we encourage our clients to get in touch if they have an idea on something that they would like to achieve with their dogs. But we've got a few things in the works, and we often work with and consult with our CRG member, Nadia, who always offers her insights and valuable input to make sure that we're, you know, working in a way that the community, you know, we're working in a way that is actually what clients are sort of seeking. Brooke, sort of, we've got our young person program that was mentioned yesterday that we're developing. COVID permitting, we would like to start to deliver more face-to-face sessions around the innovation space, but at the moment we've got our masterclass sessions that run monthly, which is a great online online sessions where other handlers can sort of interact with each other, but then also ask questions that you might have from an instructor. And then also our bi-monthly free webinars that we have. The one thing that I will leave you on is that if you are a Seeing Eye Dog client and you do have any trouble with other items of equipment under the NDIS, the beauty is that we would encourage you to get in touch, because we can help provide advice to you on how you might be able to have your items approved under the NDIS in a sort of transdisciplinary approach.
Thank you very much. That's fantastic. Okay, we're going to move over to questions. And if you have got a question for either Pete, Pearl, Lauren or Tish, you can raise your hand with Alt Y or Command Y if you're on a Mac. If you're on a phone, *9 you can type into the chat. Have we got anything in chat, Erica, as far as questions go?
People congratulating the speakers on their presentations and the amount of information that they've shared. I've also posted the URL link to the Home Care Packages Program, which is a federal government scheme.
Okay, we might also get that. You've got that information from Lauren about the what she's doing, the campaigns that she's got about the assistive technology. We might be able to put that out through our social media if it hasn't already been done. I'm sure it probably has. I think I've seen it several times. So anybody got any questions? I know there's a lot of information to absorb. You could sit here doing a whole 3 or 4 sessions on these particular topics. Well, I might open it up for the panelists. Peter, Pearl, Lauren, or Tish. Have you got any final things you would like to say that you've got time to do here?
No? Can you hear me?
Yes, Peter.
Now, good. It's yep. Pete. So, I would just stress the fact. The point I was making in closing, that you can either go with a agency or provider managed package, or you can be self-directed. And I think most of us, if we are able to do so, we would like to make our own decisions rather than have somebody make the decisions for us, or be able to manage our own affairs and you know, choose our own helpers or carers or technical aides and so on. We are the best ones to decide what is best for us. So not all providers, and unfortunately, I would have to say Vision Australia does not provide, they are a home care provider, they have a package program, but they do not allow for consumer-directed care. So you do need to be very careful which provider you choose, and not necessarily the one that is associated with a blindness organisation is necessarily the best one for you. So you do need to be very careful about that. I would stress that point.
Thanks, Pete. Then we've got Geraldine. Geraldine, you want a question? You want to unmute yourself and ask?
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Geraldine.
I just wanted to reiterate how helpful, actually, I found Vision Australia, and in particular, Tish, when applying for my over a year ago now, 18 months, actually, seeing iDog. She just really helped me through the whole process, and was even able to help me by supporting me at my NDIS review meeting. So, you know, accolades there to Tish and team because they were fantastic.
Thanks, Geraldine. Any other questions, queries or final comments?
I've got a comment, Greg. It's Lauren speaking.
Yeah, Lauren, go for it.
Yeah, I just thought I'd touch on a couple of the other recommendations from the Aged Care Royal Commission that may be of interest to people. So recommendation 73, I said that 72 relates to achieving greater parity for older people with disability who are outside the NDIS. Recommendation 73, it is looking at making the Disability Discrimination Commissioner and the Age Discrimination Commissioner report to the Parliament annually on outcomes for people with disability under the NDIS as opposed to the aged care system, so that we're actively monitoring the differences and making sure that regardless of which system you're accessing, you get the support you need. So that's a positive step forward as well. Again, that's under consideration by the Australian government. It hasn't been accepted in full. Then there's another recommendation, I believe it's 134, and it talks about abolishing fees for certain services, including assistive technology, because at the moment, if you're over 65, you still have out-of-pocket expenses for assistive technology, whereas people under the NDIS don't. So that has been accepted by the Australian government, and they're looking at abolishing fees for things like assistive technology.
Thank you very much for that. That's very interesting. Okay, I would like to thank Pete, Pearl, Lauren, and Tish for making... Oh, sorry, we've got two people with hands up. Nicole, do you want to unmute and ask your question? Yep, go for it.
Thank you. Just a quick question for Tish. So I'm not currently a CNI dog handler. I have a dog from another provider, but I have... approach my provider and they're still considering my request, and I'm just wondering if Seeing Eye Dogs would be interested in this perhaps. But my team of support workers would very much like the opportunity to work with a dog guide trainer and possibly a dog in training and go for an experiential dog guide walk and learn how best to support me and my dog and other dog guide clients that they work with in the community. Now, obviously, I would pay for this service under my NDIS package, but you talked about innovative use of NDIS. I'm just wondering if Seeing Eye Dogs, if that's something that you've got in the pipeline, or if you would consider doing something like that for a client on request.
Yeah, great question. Absolutely. I think that if a client contacted us and made a request to say that, you know, support workers working with you wanted to learn tips and tricks on how best to support you in your dog guide. Absolutely. It's I think it's really, really important. There's etiquette and tips and tricks that can be provided to ensure that you're working, you know, if they're working effectively with you and in the best way possible. So I would absolutely encourage you to reach out if that's something that you wanted to do.
Okay. Last question, Stuart. If you want to unmute and ask your question. Or Y to unmute or star 9 on the phone. Command Y if you're on a Mac. No? All right, well, while we see if Stuart comes in.
I'm unmuted.
Oh, here he is. Got me now. Yeah, go for it.
You've got me now, is that right? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Good. I've got a question. I'm 75, and I've had three guide dogs or dog guides. My first two were from guide dogs, and my current guide dog or saying our dog or dog guide, whichever it is, Omar came from Seeing Eye Dogs, and my contact was Paul Adrian. Now, I have never had to pay a cent. I've just asked for, because I'm totally blind, and I first sought assistance in 1999, even though I was legally blind from 1985. And there was never an issue of funding. Listening to what's being said today has been a real eye-opener, and I'm not quite sure as to what was the difference between my situations, and I only went to Seeing Eye Dogs because guide dogs no longer train golden retrievers, and my first two dogs were golden retrievers. So I'm a bit unclear as to, with the NDIS and the costs of providing, when in my case, all I had to do was basically ring up, and the process followed, and I received my dogs in reasonably quick time without any cost to me.
Tish here again. Stuart, I'm also a fellow golden retriever lover. I should mention I'm also raising a beautiful golden retriever puppy at the moment called Kiki. But you're right. As I mentioned before, if you're not eligible for the NDIS, our handlers will regardless receive their dog. So it is as simple as calling, being assessed and going on the waiting list. For NDIS clients, we need to go through the report and securing funding process, but again, we'll ultimately always get their dog. So thanks for making that point.
Why did I not have to do that? I didn't have to. I was never aware. I knew that I would not have any cost, which I was incredibly grateful for such a valuable dog. But there was never, that I knew of, there was never any application for funding. I just got my three dogs and they arrived and I was trained and so forth.
But
I didn't pay a cent.
I can possibly touch on that, Stuart. So this is Lauren speaking. Prior to the NDIS coming in, the provision of guide dog services wasn't really monetized in the way that it is now. It was based on a charitable model. So you just called up, as you've indicated, and you got the services. There was no discussion about how much you need to pay for your dog. It all just happened quite seamlessly. With the NDIS, what's happened is service providers have had the government funding that they used to receive taken away. And as a result, they've really had to come up with a funding model or a figure that they allocate to the provision of guide dog services. So it might be, you know, to train the dog, it costs $30,000 or $50,000 or whatever it is. Then to train the person with the dog, it costs X amount. And so that is then funded under an individually funded package like the NDIS. So it's a new thing. In years gone by, and possibly when you got your previous dogs, there was no discussion about any of this. It doesn't mean that you're personally out of pocket, though. You don't have to pay anything if you're under the NDIS. And as Tish has indicated, even if you're not eligible for the NDIS, you still won't be out of pocket. It will be much the same process.
We're
going to have to leave it there. Sorry, Stuart.
Okay, right.
We need to move on to the next session, but someone might be able to talk to you later on, or you can contact any of the Dog Guide Handlers Committee, and we can talk you through that.
Thank you very much.
No problem at all. Francois, I might, firstly, once again, thanks to our fantastic speakers, Pete, Pearl, Lauren, and Tish.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website, www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?